Okay, real quick though, we're going to talk about the Trinity. And I do want to say, if you call V1 Church your church, we believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. And that's very, very important. I don't have a ton of time to go in at length. Last sermon, ironically, I was able to take a good long time, which I'm sure that'll show up in the audio podcast as well as YouTube this week. So I encourage you to go deeper. Now, we started with the incarnation and the resurrection. That was Easter Sunday. Last Sunday, we talked about the doctrine of the gospel, which how many of you are here for baptisms? So powerful. We almost matched Easter Sunday attendance the week after Easter, which was crazy, because most churches, it's like the week after Easter is like ghost town. But for us, it was incredible. And then we talked about the doctrine of the gospel. Now we're talking about the Trinity. Next week, I am going to be teaching the theology of tongues, speaking in tongues. And there's a lot of bad information. And so depending on where you come from, whether it's hyper-Pentecostalism, the charismatic movement, or Roman Catholic, or atheism, or none of the above, you're going to want to come next week, because I'm going to be teaching about that and hopefully helping you understand that we're how normal we are in the kingdom, and how do you administrate the gift of tongues. And then the last Sunday of this month, I want to invite all of you back. And here's why. We're ending this series. It's a collection of talks on, and these sermons are to teach like the foundational doctrine, because at the end of the month, it's how to evangelize with your testimony. And I'm telling you, you've never been to a service like this in your life. We're basically setting up 2-minute testimonies throughout the entirety of the service. And then the sermon time is not just gonna be one preacher, it's gonna be three. And it's a 3-for-3 at every location. And we're gonna, well, here's how I got the idea. I'm from the streets. And sometimes we would jump people. My wife's going. And so instead of like 1-on-1, it's like 5-on-1, 10-on-1. And I thought to myself, at the end of this month, why don't we just gang up and jump the devil? So that was literally a thought, like, what if we just had testimonies at every location and we taught the fundamentals of evangelism, because it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I thought to myself, across every location, what if some of you might be on the stage by the end of the month and you don't even know it yet. An emphasis on 2 minutes, not 2 hours. I'm the only one who could go 2 hours around here, okay? Okay. So this is the entire month. So if you know somebody who's new to the faith, I want you to encourage them to listen to all these sermons. It'll be like a playlist. And then as people join the church, we'll give them these sermons so that they can get each essential doctrine. So let's start briefly. The emphasis I want to put on is this. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the word Bible is not in the Bible. Omnipotence is not in the Bible as a term, but would we all agree that God is omnipotent? Okay, and so the concept of the Trinity is found literally throughout the entire Bible. And we must understand this, because most cults, one of the ways of determining whether someone's in a cult is that many cults deny the Trinity. And so that's one of the things that I believe makes this sermon so important, is that we believe in the Trinity. As a matter of fact, over here is Islam, and they deny Christ as God, okay? Over here is Hinduism, and they'll receive Christ as an Eastern teacher, but deny his deity. And so when you talk about the Trinity, you are unintentionally addressing every other world religion and every other philosophical system. And so that's why this one sermon could very well be the most important sermon for our lifetime. Because for those of you who keep track on social media, we're going to look at the scriptures here shortly, but you know, Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate built an entire career on social media. As a matter of fact, in the last couple of years, Andrew Tate was one of the most Googled men on the planet, and he famously recently converted to Islam. And when people ask him why, he says, because Christians are weak, spineless, divided. And when I look at Islam, I see traditional family values. I see them uniting and coming together in entrepreneurship. And I see them adhering to the belief system that they've had for quite a long time. And it seems like there's so many denominations and factions of Christianity. Why would I ever join that? And so at the same time, you're also starting to see other major social media influencers embrace Islam. And, you know, and so that's why we talk about these things. We talk about these things because I know that you would like to believe that it's possible to be a Christian and have your own beliefs and not push them on other people. Oh, I believe what I believe. You believe what you believe. The problem is the Great Commission, which is what we're going to talk about at the end of the month, is hinging on your willingness to seek and save the lost and to preach the gospel. So if I, now the most modern Christians, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but stay with me because I want to weight the importance of this sermon. But most modern Christians, they think that I should never impose my beliefs on other people. Meanwhile, through birth rate and social media influence, you have Islam increasing dramatically while thousands of churches in the United States close their door every month. And so you very well could live in a world in one or two generations where Christianity is the minority because we believe the lie that we weren't supposed to impose our belief on anyone else. And I will give you the good news. You don't impose it. The Holy Spirit reveals it. And to those that it's truth, they know it as truth. And to those who still have blinders on their eyes, they keep on keeping on and you shake the dust. So that's week, the last week of the month. So the Trinity is of utmost importance because, well, let's jump in. I just got a few minutes left. God the Father is the first member of the Trinity. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we are introduced to him. So in the beginning, help me if you all know it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So now we have God as the creator, and he is the father of all creation and the sustainer. Now, let me just tell the young people. At your local school, they will tell you that this universe has a beginning, but they won't attribute it to God. But can I just tell you, God created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Don't believe the propaganda. Don't believe the lies. God created. If it had a beginning, and you know, they say God, you know, this is the old school Pentecostals. When they talk about the Big Bang, they would say, God said it and bang, it happened. Y'all like my hillbilly accent? You know I'm half hillbilly. God said it and bang, it happened. But I do need to say the Bible declares that a fool in his heart says there is no God. Now, he might be a fool with a high IQ. He might be a fool with a big vocabulary. But if he doesn't believe in God, he's a fool. And hey, daughters of the house, don't marry a fool. Come on, Mike. If he don't believe in God, then he don't have any place in your life. If he doesn't serve the Lord, he ain't gonna serve you. Come on. I'm trying to help somebody. You're gonna learn why some of the daughters of this house would rather be single than with the wrong guy. I got hit with that free women chancla. This is that free women chancla. It has a radar for Jezebel. It has a radar for Ahab. This is one of those, I should do a video on this. When my mom used to throw these, I would turn the corner and it would go. Y'all don't know about this. I was raised in a Hispanic neighborhood and they taught my mom two things. One I'm grateful for and one I'm not. They taught her how to cook and they taught her how to throw a chancla. The cooking I'm grateful for, but mom, this is why my head's shaped weird. Triggered me. So, in the beginning, God created. And listen, do you know that it's just as intellectually viable to believe that God created it than it was by random happenstance? You do understand that this is not an inferior perspective. You do understand historically, people with the highest IQs believed in God. This is a modern thing where they stop. Matter of fact, and we don't have time to do this, but I will encourage you. But Francis Collins has an incredible book that talks about the cosmological constants that prove the fine-tuning of the universe. And if you didn't understand anything I just said, and you're still thinking about chonklas, If you change one variable by 1 degree in any of the cosmological constants, not only does life not exist on this planet, but the universe doesn't exist as we know it at all. And I mean, but you would look at a watch, which is barbaric in comparison, and say, well, definitely there was a watchmaker. But then look at the universe and be like, well, I don't know, maybe this is all random. What? So your mechanical watch was made by a person, but the cosmos just farted out into existence? Well, there's life. Have you ever stood in a car lot long enough for it to form a new car? Okay, welcome to science class with Mike Siggs. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, though, it alludes to the Trinity. It says this, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, why is God talking in plural? The Trinity? Because in modalism, they believe that God exists in three persons in three distinct time periods. But we actually believe that he's all three in one all the time. Does this make sense? So in other words, Jesus hungered because he was 100% man and 100% God, but God cannot hunger. Jesus thirst, but God did not thirst. But they're all three the same in one and all three separate in persons. Does this make sense? It kind of should. And the reason why is because he's an infinite God and we are a finite pea-sized brain. And so I will tell you, any attempt to adequately convey the essence of the Trinity will fall short. And actually, I would propose to you that that's my evidence that the concept of the Trinity is designed by God and not created by man, because why would man create something we can't understand fully? Oh, somebody just realized he got me. I mean, by very nature of our inability to understand what the Trinity is, it proves that the concept is, in essence, God. And so let's break it down. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And I do find it interesting that Jesus is God incarnate, like in other words, God wrapped in flesh, and you are a spirit wrapped in flesh. You know, you have, and there's other scriptures to support this, but you have a soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have a spirit, you have a body, you're triune. This is why all the cessationists get so mad about me saying that you could have a demon in your flesh, but not in your spirit, because they don't understand triune. Oh, did I go too deep? You know, there was a difference in the old covenant temple between the outer courts, the inner courts, and the Holy of Holies. And the glory didn't come into the outer courts or even the inner courts. The glory of the Lord only actually manifested in the Holy of Holies. Matter of fact, you do know, Julie, that there were actually wild animals that could be in the outer courts. It's almost as if a demon can inflict you in your physical body, and that does not necessarily mean that the Holy Spirit's not dwelling in your spirit. Okay, let's move on. So how are you going to read Genesis chapter 1 and dismiss the Trinity when God's speaking in plural without saying that he's Venom? That was for the Marvel fans. But God's not schizophrenic. He's triune. And so even when you read Genesis 1, you're starting to get this language. Now let's look at Jesus, Son and Savior. I'm going to do this quickly. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now I have to stop and say this. Look at your Bibles. It says the Word became flesh, and Word is a capital W. In English, that means a proper noun. What is a proper noun? It's a person or a place, right? And so the Word became flesh. So the Word is a person, it's Jesus. And I need you to understand that, because there's this movement of people who deny the deity of Jesus. but use the teachings of Jesus to try to make themselves wealthy and influential and successful. It's not the power of the spoken word. It is the power behind the word, capital W, who is God incarnate in flesh, that through the Holy Spirit grants the thing that you declared according to God the Father's will. You're going to have to rewind this one. The business community within Christianity likes to take biblical principles but actually delete the God of the Bible. We don't do that here. And so they take the power of positive thinking and affirmations and declarations and they Christianize it. You just got to look in the mirror. I will be a billionaire. I will be a billionaire. I will be. Well, you can keep saying it, and there's only two things that are going to happen. One, you never become a billionaire because that's foolishness. Or two, the devil blesses you to keep you from Christ because you never surrendered to him in the first place. We don't believe in powerful affirmations. We believe in the powerful affirmations of our Father. And we're not speaking, we're repeating what he's saying to us. Oh, y'all, are you hearing me? See, in the world, they're conjuring up, I am worthy. No, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. The message of the gospel is, God, I'm so unworthy, but you're so faithful. God, I can't keep failing. Oh, I know your father failed, your grandfather failed, your mother failed, your grandmother failed, but you're gonna surrender to me, and then I'm gonna empower you with my Holy Spirit, and the areas that you're weak, I'll be strong. It's a different message. But why do we not understand this? Well, whose Jesus do you serve? Me, and you know, let me, I hope to have the privilege of sitting across from my stunt double, Andrew Tate. But when he became a Muslim, do you know what's really wrong with Islam? And this is why I'm talking about it. It's not that it's not Christian, because this isn't team Christianity versus team Islam. Actually, what it is when you study the Quran, and I've read it multiple times, it's works-based. So the goal of it is do more good deeds than bad deeds so that when you die, the scale tips and you're able to enter paradise. And then what the devil comes in to do is pervert and distort that message so that you have young men that are willing to give their life and die in hopes that what we know as evil and vengeful act will actually get them into paradise. So if I could talk to Andrew Tate, you know what I would tell him? The difference between true Christianity and true Islam is, in your religion, you die for your God. But in mine, my God died for me. It's grace. I once was lost. Now I'm found. I didn't find myself. He found me. I once was blind. Now I see. I didn't take the scales off. He removed them from my eyes. And Andrew Tate, I'm not soft. I'm surrendered. Ah! Because he's gonna deal with something that Muhammad can't save him from. But there's nothing my Jesus hasn't saved me from. Hey, hey. That's why I'm a revivalist, because I won't stand by while there's breath in my lungs and a heart beating in my chest and let our young people be influenced by Islam or be influenced by the ways of the world. We will serve Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't you dare count Christianity out. Rome thought they had us beat when they were feeding us to lions. But every martyr magnified the glory of God. And when they saw how happy they were to die, even the pagans said, what do I have to do to have that kind of joy? This is what happens when they see us in New York City. And they're like, we live in the same city. What is it about those people? Why are they dancing like that? but I don't understand. Let me tell you that there is this glory in earthen vessels, that though we are broken, the light of Christ shines through, and my scars serve one purpose, to give you a window into the very presence of God. And where I've been wounded, it shows his power. Where I've been hurt, where I've been crushed, it shows what he's capable of. This is why the Christian faith is undefeatable. Because when we're perplexed, when we're crushed on every side, when we have no other options, we throw up our hands and we declare the King has one more move. And whether I live or I die, it's gain. There is no downside to this thing because Christ receives all the glory. This is who we are. This is who we are. God the Father, in the beginning. So guess what? You want to have cancel culture? I'm canceling atheism right now. Yeah. You want to do cancel culture? I'm canceling atheism in every single school on Long Island in New York City. And how I'm going to cancel atheism is I'm sending in soldiers called V1 Youth that have miracle working power in their hand, that know how to cast out demons, that know how to defend the scripture, that know doctrine rightly divided. I'm sending them in like white blood cells to cure the cancer of this society from all the things of this world that Satan has offered them. That's how we're going to get it done. Jesus clubs in every single school where the glory comes down and it disrupts the atmosphere. You didn't think that baptisms could happen in the swimming pool of your school. Think again. Get a vision. Get a vision. This is what happens when you count Christianity out. This is what happens when you suppress us. This is what happens when you push us down. Their persecution releases power. The more persecuted, the more power that's released. You want to have cancel culture? I'm canceling fear. I'm canceling anxiety. I'm canceling worry. I'm canceling addiction. I'm canceling divorce. You want to do cancel culture? I'm canceling the works of darkness. I'm canceling the new age and counterfeit witchcraft. I'm canceling false prophets. I'm canceling it. I'm canceling religion as usual. I'm canceling it in Jesus' name. It's time we turn the tide and stop being victimized by the weapons of the enemy, but take Goliath's sword out of his hand and wield that cancel culture and start canceling some works of darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I will ask the Father. So Jesus the Son says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, but it's with a capital H. See, you got to understand proper nouns. See, if I could release somebody into your life to help pay your bills, they would be helper with a lowercase h. If I could bring them to your house to help clean up, it would be helper with a lowercase h. But there's one, he said, I'm sending the helper, not a helper, the helper. See, some of you have been looking to man to solve your problems. You've been looking to man to help you out. And you better start thanking God that nobody ever showed up, because it redirected you to the helper. If God would have sent a helper, you would have never learned how to seek the helper. I'm talking to somebody right now. It's with the capital H. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. When you cry out to him, you get his saving, his supply. You get his provision. But when you reach out to them, you get theirs. I want Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. See how they're all working together in perfect unity? The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jump to your feet. We're going to pray together. Ha. Understand this. God, the Father, the Creator and Sustainer. Jesus, the Son, the Redeemer and Reconciler that enables you to come back to God. And then the Holy Spirit that transforms and empowers you. and dwells inside of you, that we don't just see what Jesus did as the image bearer of God, but rather through the Holy Spirit in us, we do as Jesus did. How many of you are ready to do as Jesus did? Last revelation. Hear me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here's what makes God different than every other creator. Every other creator you've ever encountered, including the devil, can only create with materials already created. Some of you about to get it. Everything you've ever experienced, including what the devil subjected to you to, was created with things that were already created. But God has a special ability that only He has to make something out of nothing. You show up to His presence. I don't know how to be a man. Oh, I specialize in making something out of nothing. Oh, I don't know how to be a mom. I feel like I'm failing as a mom. I feel like my kids don't have enough. Oh, come to me, mother. I know how to make something out of nothing. Oh, come on, I'm speaking to somebody. You're checking your bank account. God, I don't know how I'm gonna survive. I'm honoring you with the tithe and offering. I'm giving to the house. I'm working, I don't know what to do. God specializes in making something out of nothing. Listen, I'll tell you, when He speaks, He creates. This is why prophecy is so important. When God speaks, 1,000 worlds are formed. What's He speaking into you? So close your eyes and let me pray for you. I want you to close your eyes because I'm hoping you open your spiritual eyes. What is He creating in you? What's He speaking into you? What's He releasing into you? You come to Him nothing, but He's the God that makes something out of nothing. What is He making? There's nations inside of some of you. There's generations inside of you. There's not a book, there's volumes of books inside of you. There's songs inside of you. What is He making out of nothing with His word? Father, right now I ask that we would get a revelation of You as creator and sustainer. I ask that we would get a revelation of You as reconciler and restorer. And Father, that we would get a revelation that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but the Holy Spirit is the Lord. And we will honor the Holy Spirit at school. We will honor the Holy Spirit at work. We will honor the Holy Spirit in our home. And everywhere we go, we will increase our acknowledgement of Your Holy Spirit both in us and manifest around us through Your glory. And if you believe that, would you just shout amen? Come on, fortify my faith, God.